Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
They say it's in your blood, a game that can't be won, only played. A love affair. It satisfies the soul and frustrates the intellect. The greatest game ever played, golf. It's real. And this is Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper, son of legendary golfer Billy Casper, talking golf with you for more than two decades. And now, here's Brian and Bob.
Well, thank you very much, announcer man Vaughn, who has been with us for nearly an entire 26 years here on Real Golf Radio. Thanks for joining us on a Memorial Day edition of the show. Happy Memorial Day to all of you. If you're out and about, do so safely. Thanks for taking us along with you, and it's a pleasure to talk golf with you every Saturday morning. Coming off the second major championship of the year, does that mean it's the halfway point in the season? Kinda. You know, at the end of the major season in July, you have the FedEx Cup playoffs and then roll it into a Ryder Cup. Hey, the U.S. needed a bit of a boost there to win in a major championship. It feels like it's been mostly Team Europe dominating the PGA Tour this year. And Scotty goes off and picks up the dub, holds the Wanamaker trophy high and above his head. Third major, 15th PGA Tour win before the age of 29, joining the likes of some pretty good golfers in Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods to have done that very thing.
It's pretty amazing to see what he's been able to do in just a short period of time. And, you know, here's a guy that, when he came on tour, his first full year, didn't do a whole heck of a lot. I mean, he played some really good tournaments. He worked himself up into the top 40 in the world, you know, almost 30 in the world, was picked as a Ryder Cup, member, and still had not won a tournament. And then, you know, Ted Scott gets on the bag and they go on a tear. They win that first year and he gets his first major at the Masters. And then last year, he gets the 7 or 8, 9 wins and then, you know, got hurt, but here he comes back. He got Dallas and then wins a PGA championship. And yeah, what happens the remainder of the year for him is going to be interesting because, you know, he needs a U.S. Open and he needs an Open Championship.
Oh,
as well.
Whoa! What am I seeing? Grand Slam Bob's back.
Grand Slam career. Grand Slam Bob's back again. I knew I'd get you.
Well, Grand Slam Bob and BT doing Real Golf Radio once again for you here. Stay tuned. We'll go through the leaderboard out. I'll check out. You're listening to Real Golf Radio.
How's it going, everyone? Spencer Reynolds here with Fujikura Golf, and today we're excited to bring you our newest line of performance golf shafts, the all-new Fujikura Pro Series. The Pro naming convention has a rich Fujikura history, and this promises to be the highest performance Pro Series yet, featuring an all-new advanced bend profile design. Advanced bend profile is a design technique where we target specific regions within a section of the shaft and alter stiffness in those sections to increase overall shaft performance. In the all-new Pro Series, Advanced Bend Profile targets the lower region of the midsection, drops the stiffness dramatically to increase kick speed, and a reinforced tip section provides increased stability and consistency at impact. Available in two distinct and overall smooth-feeling profiles, Pro Blue offers players a traditional mid-launch and mid-low spin configuration, while Pro Black focuses on higher ball speed players, delivering a lower launch and lower spin option. Both Pro models are available now, so visit us at FujikuraGolf.com for more product-specific information, locate a charter dealer near you, and get fit for the all-new Fujikura Pro Series.
Golf Course Green starts with good irrigation. Pros and golf course superintendents agree. You should turn to Mountainland Supply for your turf irrigation needs. Mountainland Supply is the exclusive Rainbird Golf distributor in Utah. And what does that mean to you? When you need irrigation products for your lawn, you can trust that Mountainland Supply will have what you need. Plus, Mountainland can assist you in designing your sprinkler system with smartphone controllers, drip irrigation, pipes, parts, and tools. Go to MountainlandSupply.com to find the location nearest you.
Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X are the best performing, most consistent in the game. So how does the best get better? You start by listening to the best players in the world. You experiment, iterate, validate. You trust the best process to create the best golf ball the game has ever known. The all-new Pro V1 and Pro V1X. More speed off the tee, more control with your irons, more spin with your wedges, and more opportunity to shoot your lowest scores.
Say hello to 4U Banking from Zions Bank, customized banking that's all about you and the way you bank, like credit cards. Experience 4U Banking today at a Zions Bank branch or visit zionsbank.com/4U to learn more. Credit card accounts are subject to credit approval. Certain terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See the consumer credit card agreement and disclosure statement for more details. Offers are available for new credit card accounts only and subject to change at any time. A division of Zions Bank Corporation, NA member FDIC.
With adaptive weighting technology and 33 unique loft and lie settings, Cobra has a driver model for every golfer. Introducing DS Adapt from Cobra Golf. Dial in your game.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
This segment brought to you in part by Black Desert Resort, St. George, Utah. Go to blackdesertresort.com where you can book your stay at the all-new Resort Center Hotel. They've got everything from studios to 2, 3, 4 bedrooms that are available. Check that out. You can also play the Tom Weisskopf Championship Design Golf Course that hosted the PGA and the LPGA Tours. And of course, you can dine at the restaurants. You can spa is opening up here very soon.
Nice.
In fact, I saw a little bit of an owner grand opening is June 5th. So if you're planning to come in June, look for that. Should note, they are punching the greens coming up after Memorial Day weekend. So it is going to be a week or so before it is fresh greens. But man, they have been, I was down there last week. The golf course is absolutely pure. And a bunch of the content creators and stuff have been down there. Fat Perez and Grant Horvat and a bunch of the guys, Bob Dutt sports guys, are down there playing and having a good time and getting wind. And I saw they're staying in the penthouse. They put those guys up in the penthouse, for crying out loud.
Wow.
It's pretty sick. Yeah, they were having a good time. But yeah, the Basalt Steakhouse.
I would imagine they were eating at the Basalt Steakhouse too.
I think they catered it into that suite for them is what they did.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me.
But I think I also did sit down at the
steakhouse. Would they do that for us?
Of course they would, Bob. What do you mean? They already have multiple times. I mean, we're big
time. Yes, they have.
I mean, these guys are just barely catching up to all the stuff we've done. What do you mean?
That's right.
Yeah. Jeez. Anyway, check out blackdesertresort.com if you want to go experience it. 36-hole putting course, Club 73, Oasis at the Turn. Your food and beverage is all included in your round of golf. I mean, it's such a cool experience. blackdesertresort.com. And there's a real estate opportunity still available if you want to get in on that and be like really glad that, hey, remember when I could have bought that condo for that? Or remember when I bought that for that? And it's now, yeah, that's still available. Water park begins construction as well this summer. So we're awesome. About a year or so away from having the water park down there, which is going to be sick.
BlackDesertResort.com, aren't they?
Yeah, they're cruising.
Yep. Hey, right. So you know what? We were talking about Ryder Cup right at the end of that last segment. And, you know, Scotty getting a major championship. Now he's got 2 wins. You know, he's number one right now still in Ryder Cup points. And you got Xander and Bryson, which Bryson has been playing some good golf. And he will be a guy that you will probably want on the team. Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, and Russell Henley right now top 6.
Not bad.
Then you've got Harris English, Maverick McNealy, Andrew Novak, Brian Harman, J.J. Spahn, Patrick Cantlay, Daniel Berger, Tony Finau at 14, Tom Hoagie at 15, Lucas Glover at 16, Keegan Bradley 17, Ben Griffin 18, Wyndham Clark 19, and Billy Horschel, which he's not going to be playing. So it would drop to 21, which is Denny McCarthy. And he's the guy that fills it up, man. That guy can make some putts.
That guy Hoagie didn't do me any favors for the spoiler pick.
No,
of the
he
PGA,
didn't.
Dang
no, he
it.
Didn't. But it's kind of interesting because you've got guys in the top six that you know. But then you've got guys that are in the next six, and there's only one of them that you really know or that is kind of has been on them before. Well, two, Brian Harman at 10 and Patrick Cantlay at 12. The other guys are all kind of newish. And so it's going to be kind of an interesting year for Ryder Cup for the U.S. side.
Am I the only one that's okay if Patrick Cantlay's not on that team?
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Hatgate did not bode well.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
But then on the European side, you got Rory, Shane Lowry, Rasmus Højgaard, Tyrrell Hatton, Sepp Straka, and Justin Rose. That's the top six.
I'm telling you, that team's going to be tough to beat.
Ooh.
That team is going to be freaking hard to beat. I don't care if it's
okay,
New York.
Okay, so then listen to the next ones. You got Fleetwood, Oberg, Dietrich, Matt Wallace, Nicholas Højgaard, and Victor Hovland are the next six.
Ole, ole, ole.
Hopefully not.
That's going to be a lot of that.
We've got the 13th man, New York City, baby.
Well, we're going to need it. Because
yes, we are.
That is a heck of a European squad right there. Hey, let's get back to the PGA Championship. Scottie Scheffler and his dominating win. 19 birdies.
Mm.
Two eagles.
Mm.
Those were tied for first. So the guys were making them out there.
Yep.
Par 3 scoring average, 3.06. That was tied for 13th. Par 4 scoring average, 3.88. That was number one. And par 5, he tied for 5th at 4.33. So Scottie Scheffler hit 62.5% of his fairways. At 308, he was 31st in driving distance. How about that? His longest drive.
And he's proved that's adequate.
His longest drive, 343 yards. That's good for a T34 out in that field.
Mm.
343 is tied for 34th. We don't need to worry about that ball, Bob. What's wrong with the ball? Let's see. Off the tee, he was 5th. Around the greens, he was 5th. Tee to green, he was 1st and 23rd in putting. I mean, he really is just so good off the tee. And then once he gets around that green, I mean, the chipping prowess, the putting, like the putting's been, that used to be an Achilles heel. Now it's not even talked about anymore. In fact, it's a strength.
And it went from when he was putting with the blade putter to his putting drastically improved once he went to a mallet type putter. And the guy who got him started on that mallet type putter was Rory McIlroy. He was the one that said to him, you know what? You ought to try that mallet type putter. It's a lot easier to putt with. And, you know, we've seen him, like you said, as Achilles heel. We've seen him with putting, but now it's, you know, he's slowly up to where you can, if you can be in the top 20, it's like, and hit it as good as he does, it's like crazy.
Careful what kind of advice you give your fellow competitors out there.
Yeah, that's right.
Bryson DeChambeau finishes runner-up. Didn't really give us a ton on Sunday. In fact, John Rahm really stole the show, but he fell all the way down to a tie for 8th, which 73, that does not really, it's not reflective of his play on Sunday. He played great, right? I mean, he comes out on Sunday and he birdies 8, 10, and 11. And then you're thinking, okay, you know, he's where he needs to be. Scotty was kind of faltering a little bit. And then he couldn't get it done at 12, 13, 14, and 15. And then he found himself trailing again. And he had to press going into the green mile. And that's just the kiss of death. He goes bogey, double, double. Yeah. I'm not here to criticize Rahm for the bogey, double, double. Because even if he had just gone par, 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 he still loses.
Yeah.
So he just, he had to press. And, yeah, I mean, the best he could have done par was 9 under. And yep. So you press, try to make a birdie knowing you got to get to 10 or 11 at the time. Scotty was coming into 18 at 12, right? Does Scotty mm-hmm. bogey that hole if he has to make? Probably not. But he played it conservatively, did what he did.
But even if he had a 3-shot lead, if he made bogey, it really yep. doesn't matter. Yeah, and, true. You know, he just played out the way it played out as far as he was concerned. And
but it was it good matter. To see Rahm.
He'd win
didn't
by two
think?
Or he'd win by five.
It was great seeing Rahm in contention, didn't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
But I like, I think the fact is that you can play for championships that a lot of these guys have played for that have jumped to live. You can play for championships all through the PGA Tour season that really kind of mean something. The only time you get to play for championships that really mean something when you're playing live golf is basically when you have a chance to play in major championships. So
I subscribe to that. It doesn't explain how Brooks won right after joining.
Right after joining.
And then Bryson has been a bit of the outlier where he's been in competition and won.
Yeah.
Even though he's been over at Live for a bit. But I think Bryson's a different character. He said on TV, I'm a content creator and a golf pro.
Yeah.
No one else is saying that.
Yep.
And so I think this suits him, you know? I mean, I think this is perfect for him. Hey, he's got a bunch of money.
It allows him to be eccentric. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a bunch. Yeah. They gave him a bunch of money to go out and do what he wants to do, and then he's going to show up and try to win majors every once in a while. I mean, that's. I think it's perfect for Bryson. I don't think that's for everyone, but it is for Bryson. Hey, we'll take a break. When we come back, welcome in our good friend Ryan Ballingy, golfnewsnet.com. Talk about DriverGate as well. You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Right now is the perfect time to check out the all-new Black Desert Resort in St. George. You can stay. You can play. Enjoy one of the many restaurants that are open to serve you, like the fun sports atmosphere at the 20th hole or the finest steakhouse experience at Basalt. Play the Tom Weisskopf Championship Golf Course, home to the PGA and LPGA Tours. Take on the massive 36-hole putting course and enjoy luxury your way at Black Desert Resort. Book your experience at blackdesertresort.com.
I decided I needed legal help.
It was free to call Siegfried and Jensen.
Cost nothing to call them.
There was no fee until we got a settlement.
And I'm very grateful for Siegfried and Jensen.
It doesn't cost you a thing to call, and we can help.
Golf Course Green starts with good irrigation. Pros and golf course superintendents agree. You should turn to Mountainland Supply for your turf irrigation needs. Mountainland Supply is the exclusive Rainbird Golf distributor in Utah. And what does that mean to you? When you need irrigation products for your lawn, you can trust that Mountainland Supply will have what you need. Plus, Mountainland can assist you in designing your sprinkler system with smartphone controllers, drip irrigation, pipes, parts, and tools. Go to mountainlandsupply.com to find the location nearest you.
At Black Desert Resort, everyday living feels like a well-deserved getaway. Immerse yourself in the unique opportunity of ownership nestled among the lava fields and vibrant cliffs of Greater Zion. Spanning 600 acres of scenic desert landscape, our newly built luxury resort offers a range of residences, diverse dining options, year-round outdoor recreation, and world-class spa facilities. Anchoring it all is our signature Tom Weisskopf Golf Course. Explore the options or book a tour at ownblackdesertresort.com.
Say hello to 4U Banking at Zions Bank. Customized banking that's all about you and the way you bank. Whether you're looking to open a new checking account or simply save for the future, we're ready to help with banking that's meant for you. Experience 4U Banking today at your local Zions Bank branch or visit zionsbank.com/4U to learn more. Please refer to the deposit account agreement, account disclosure, deposit rate sheet, and personal account schedule of fees available in the online agreement center or speak with a banker for more details. A division of Zions Bank Corporation, NA member FDIC.
My name is DJ. I was injured in a car accident. I called Siegfried & Jensen because the insurance company was trying to take advantage of me. Siegfried & Jensen were great at making sure that I was taken care of.
Here for you whenever and wherever you need us. Siegfried & Jensen.
This is Brian Taylor. For years, you've heard me talk about getting LASIK surgery from Hoops Vision. I've heard from so many of you who have had the same great experience that I had. It's been 15 years already, and my eyesight is still amazing. I 100% recommend the pros at Hoops Vision for your vision correction needs. Book your free consultation online at hoopsvision.com. Mention Real Golf Radio, and you'll save $1,000 on your LASIK procedure. That's hoopsvision.com. Hoopsvision.com.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Talking golf with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
One day you'll get it.
Here's Brian and Bob.
Welcome back. It's Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, joined now by our good friend from Golf News Net, Ryan Ballingy, out on the road somewhere doing some content. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. You know, we had a bunch of content creators in at Black Desert this week. I saw the Bob Does Sports and, you know, some of the other guys, Grant's out there. And I was like, why is Ryan Ballingy not out at Black Desert this week with all these boys? That's what I want to know. So, sorry, I didn't put it together, or you would have been.
Well, I'm actually hoping to come out in September, so stay tuned on that.
Okay. All right. Well, we want to have you out there in September. That'd be great. September's a beautiful time to be out there, just cooling down a little bit. Summer's a little sizzler, but... yeah, hopefully we'll see you out there. All right, so PGA Championship. Here's my take. Tell me what you think on this one. Scottie Scheffler won like Tiger, won majors. He put the Saturday 65 up there. That got him in the lead, and then he just kept it between the lines on Sunday and let the chasers all make mistakes and kind of won with his B game. Just feels a little like a recipe out of Tiger Woods back in his prime.
I was kind of thinking the exact same thing on Sunday and to a degree on Saturday. I mean, my feeling is to win a major, you have to play 45 really good holes, and then you have to play 27 good enough holes. And I think that's exactly what Scottie Scheffler did. I argue he played probably like 30 really good holes and 42 good enough holes. But that was what he did, that flurry to finish on Saturday, give himself a three-shot lead. I think kind of the air of inevitability started to set in. And then, you know, to John Rahm's credit, he went out there and tried to do something with it. He knew that Scheffler was just kind of flopping about early on in the front nine. And he just kind of let it come to him, I think, a little bit. I think once Scheffler realized, hey, these are the holes where you make hay, right, between 14 and 15 in particular. You got to kind of take your chances, and that's where you're going to score. And he made up for the early bogeys in the early part of the front nine and then let himself score. And that put all the pressure on Rahm, who was playing ahead and didn't take advantage of either 14 or 15. And that forced him to really go for broke. And then he made a whole ton of mistakes on 16, 17, and 18. And all of a sudden what seemed like something that was close and interesting for the final hour turned out to be a laugher, where Scottie Scheffler could have played with a 7-iron and only a 7-iron and still won the championship.
Are you surprised that besides Rahm getting in to a tie for the lead when Scottie was just starting the back nine, are you surprised that there wasn't really anybody else that really made a push?
No. I guess I thought Bryson was going to do something. I thought maybe he would kind of be the guy that played for broke and then maybe see what Rahm would do, but no one else really materialized other than that. And I wasn't necessarily surprised that that didn't happen. I really didn't think Alex Noren was going to do it. I think he was kind of in there as a happy accident, just coming off of all the injury time that he's had. And then JT Poston, I think he probably expected a lot more of himself. I'm sure Davis Riley did as well. Of those two, I probably would have expected Poston to do something a little bit more, but his short game just didn't deliver in the way that it typically does for him, hence the postman nickname. But it kind of feels like when Scottie Scheffler gets the lead, back to your original Tiger point, that it's over. As soon as he's installed at 1 or T1 on the leaderboard, we might as well just shut it down, because he is truly an incredible closer. And the thing that he does, I think, at least at Quail Hollow, did better than Tiger would have done, was the bounce back rate. I mean, he was 62.5% on bounce back rate. Crazy, where if he made a bogey, you know, what, 8 bogeys 5 times, he made a birdie the next hole? That's unheard of. I mean, that's unbelievable, especially when the average is like 17%.
Ryan Ballingy joining us here on Real Golf Radio, looking back at the PGA. So with all that said, you know, how big is that? Because it felt like Tiger back in the day won with the 15th club a little bit. He had the mental edge a little bit on the players. He knew it, and he knew that they knew it, and they knew that he knew that they knew it. Just wanted to try to say that and confuse everybody. But the point is like it's that little sort of mental edge is big when it comes down the stretch like that. It's like whose name's on top is just as important as how far ahead they are in some most cases.
Yeah, you kind of trade on your name a little bit on a leaderboard, right? I mean, especially if you're there a lot and you win a lot. And that's where we're starting to get with Scheffler now, 15 deep in a PGA Tour career in basically a span of 3 years. Including three major championships. Now you see his name on the leaderboard, and you go, okay, well, he's not going anywhere, so I've got to beat him at a minimum to win this thing. And that's a lot psychologically, knowing that someone's just not going to go away and that they are a closer, and if they do get to you, they're probably going to overtake you or they're probably going to beat you. It is something that I think Tiger did better than anyone else not named Jack Nicklaus in the history of golf. And Scottie Scheffler has created this kind of, again, air of inevitability about it, that once he gets to the top of the leaderboard, it's just a matter of time. And that also, he's not going to make mistakes. And that's the real killer. And I think it's something Rory McIlroy has talked about multiple times in the last year or so, that something he would like to model about his game, about Scheffler's, which is that he wants to play smart golf and then take advantage when he has to of opportunities to score. And he does, when he doesn't have it, like he didn't early on in the final round, he figured out ways to minimize mistakes. He made mistakes, but he figured out ways to minimize them and didn't let himself get too far away from, the worst he got was tied for the lead. And then all of a sudden he won by five. He figured out a way to swing the club, to do what he needed to do to perform, got his confidence back, and the thing was over. So really, it was all a measure in the end of whether Scottie Scheffler was going to beat himself or not. And ultimately, he didn't figure out a way to win.
You mentioned Rory. Maybe your thoughts about Rory, you know, coming into the event, he'd won three times, got his Masters, got the career Grand Slam, had some unfortunate comments, we think, you know, he said that he's reached all his dreams and he's going to have to reevaluate now, but he's kind of in a no man's land, and his game and his play proved it on a golf course that he's won four times on.
Yeah. I think we kind of all misread the situation and thinking that the lid would be lifted once he had completed the career Grand Slam and then would just go ham and just win majors left and right because he had nothing to lose. He had done it all. And then he had kind of erased the curse of the last decade or so. And that has, at least so far, turned out not to be the case. And I think there's certainly room there to be forgiven doing it, you know, less than a month, basically, month-ish after completing the career Grand Slam, maybe just kind of soaking it in and enjoying it. But if and when the day comes and Scottie Scheffler completes the career Grand Slam, I think he'll shrug it off and go, okay, well, I'm going to go win the John Deere Classic next week, because he's the kind of guy that just wants to compete and win. And I don't think he will ever kind of rest psychologically until he's kind of decided he's one of the five or four or three or two greatest golfers of all time. I guess Rory isn't quite built that way. Or at least he isn't built that way a month after completing the career Grand Slam. Let's see where his head is at Oakmont next month. Maybe it kind of snaps back into place and he goes, okay, well, you know, I haven't won this major championship in 14 years. Now let's try to capture back some of the ones, let's go start all over. Let's start a new Grand Slam.
Ryan Ballingy joining us. I'm not going to be critical of Rory to the very point that you made. It's a month after. And if he wants to just sit back and relish this a little bit and take it easy, good for you. Like, that doesn't bother me. But it does when he says that, it does change my expectations, I think is what you're saying, right? It changes our expectations about what we should, what we think we might see when Rory tees it up in those major championships. Now, it is a what have you done for me lately kind of society, and so he could very well go win Oakmont, and then suddenly it's Scottie Scheffler who, and all about Rory again, and all that kind of thing. But let's stay with where we're at on Rory. So it's one thing that he decided that he's, you know, going to just relax and enjoy things. It's another that he decides not to talk to the media for four straight competitive rounds. That, like, I get that he wouldn't want to do that when he, especially if he had lost the Masters in impressive fashion and blew another opportunity to complete the career Grand Slam, but he's the darling. Why would he shy away or choose not to talk to the media, you know, even though he maybe didn't have his best stuff and he wasn't contending, to all of a sudden just like shut it down? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I'm kind of perplexed by that as well. And I don't really have a good answer for you or even really, I could come up with a set of theories, but there was nothing that really screamed out to me that he was trying to stick it to somebody or somebodies or a different group of people or what have you. I mean, maybe he has an issue with the PGA of America. Maybe he has an issue with the media. I really don't know. I was really confused by the whole thing. I mean, the guy is typically very generous with his time and realizes his place in the game and realizes he's a fan favorite and people want to hear from him. But it didn't seem like there was anything on the agenda that could have gotten him into trouble other than lavishing praise on him for completing the career Grand Slam. So I'm not really sure where that comes from. I think probably the next time we see him and he speaks, we'll get some allusion to what that is. But it was a bad look. And, you know, I can live with it in the heat of the moment, you know, when maybe you let one slip away or one gets away from you. Final round, you want to talk, you don't want to talk that minute, you want to talk the next day. I honestly can be fine with that. I mean, it's not great for our profession, but I'm fine with it. But you're coming from a happy place, not a sad place. You're the Masters champion.
Yeah.
And you're the most popular player in the game, maybe other than Scottie and Tiger, obviously. And you just gotta put on a media boycott for 4 days for no apparent reason. Color me confused.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead, Bob.
I was going to say, could it have been that he didn't want to talk about the situation with his driver?
Yeah. I mean, maybe he was upset with the USGA and the PGA about the testing bit, you know, and then obviously it came out, obviously not because of him. He wasn't the one shouting from the rooftops about it probably. So then it came out, and then obviously then Scottie got implicated in the end, but he wound up winning, right? So there was no excuse there from Scottie. Yeah, they got me. They got the driver. It was illegal. I found another one, won the championship anyway. You know, it's a little kind of different point of view, I think, also looking through that prism, that if that's the reason, Bob, that he didn't talk, that he was upset about that, the club testing situation, then your peer in the same OEM had the same situation, found a different club, and still managed to be the champion at the end. And he talked about it quite honestly and quite extensively.
Do you think it's one of those things that he felt like slighted, like a little superstar slighted, you know, where, you know, hey, that those, you know, I'm coming off of winning the Masters. I'm the biggest story in the game right now, career Grand Slam. What are you doing pulling me in for a driver test? Like, is it an ego thing like that? Or do you think, because by him not talking, it leads a lot of people that don't know to speculation, like, oh, Rory's cheating. You know, he's using a illegal driver or whatever. Maybe that Masters wasn't legitimate. I mean, which all of that is nonsense. But the point is that it just leaves it open to that, where it doesn't need to be left open to that. If he just addresses it the way Scottie did and says, no big deal, we do this, I'm ready, I'm moving the driver, and it's an end of the story.
Right. It's the whole thing about controlling your narrative, mm-hmm. right? If you explain, yeah, I got popped, but, you know, it was one microsecond off of characteristic time and really doesn't mean anything performance-wise, but, you know, unfortunately, I really felt comfortable with that driver head. Now I've got to go change it before the championship. You know, you can say that bothers you. That's okay. You can say that, but say it instead of leaving it up to anybody else who may not understand the implication, may not understand the technical side of it, and then leave people to guess who are not educated on the subject to wonder if you've been using an illegal driver for the entire season or when did it turn a non-conforming and what does that mean? Because a lot of people don't know what that means. And then it just leaves yourself open to a lot of questions that, like you said, are ridiculous, but they're there because people don't have answers.
Yeah. So will you just real quickly, and you did a great job, by the way, if you're not already following Ryan Ballingy, you need to do that at Ryan Ballingy. And I thought you did a great job of kind of explaining kind of how that all goes down and how it is kind of a non-story. We just kind of, I'll encourage people to go watch the video. We retweeted it as well. But tell us the real quickly how fairly insignificant and regularly routine this is.
Yeah, so the USGA and the RNA have testing standards about what's called characteristic time, which is basically how long the golf ball can be in contact with the face of your driver or any club for that matter. And the rule is you can have it in contact for 239 microseconds or 239 millionths of a second. And there's an allowance that goes up to 257 microseconds because testing isn't perfect. So they give some allowance there. So if you went over by a microsecond, it basically meant nothing in terms of actual distance gain or any performance benefit whatsoever. If you took the 18 microsecond allowance that you're given, that's basically a yard off the tee. A yard off the tee, 14 times in a round if you were playing that driver and you hit it correctly, right? Which not even the best players in the world don't hit a pure every single time. So you're looking at less than 15 yards per round for a guy in Rory McIlroy and Scottie Scheffler for that matter, who hit it 30, 40, 50 yards past a lot of their peers. Mm-hmm. So in the grand scheme of things, it's just enforcing the rules as they're written, but from a performance standpoint, basically means nothing to these players.
There you go. The nothing story, just like we talked about.
Yeah.
I wonder if, well, anyway, we're out of time, but we'll address that another, whether the USGA or the PGA Tour decides to make a change, as Scottie Scheffler suggests, like maybe just test everybody all the time and let's just keep this thing rolling. But nevertheless, nevertheless, problem is Rory didn't address it and left the narrative open to your point. And then, you know, it sort of blossoms and you never know. But hopefully we'll hear from Rory and things will all get back on track. Rye, thanks for your time, man. Safe travels through Indiana, and we'll look for all the great content that you're producing, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it, as always.
You got it. Ryan Ballingy, golfnewsnet.com, joining us right here on Real Golf Radio, looking back at the PGA Championship. Stay tuned. More of the show next.
I decided I needed legal help.
It was free to call Siegfried and Jensen.
Cost nothing to call them.
There was no fee until we got a settlement.
And I'm very grateful for Siegfried and Jensen.
It doesn't cost you a thing to call, and we can help.
You've heard us talk about the amazing capabilities of Mountainland Truck Outfitters to outfit your truck, van, or commercial vehicle. But did you know that Mountainland Truck Outfitters now has a mobile sandblasting system that they can bring on site to you or your business? And Mountainland Truck Outfitters now has an exclusive powder coating shop offering virtually any color you want. See Mountainland Truck Outfitters in Provo to custom outfit your truck with lifts, leveling kits, spray-in bed liners, commercial truck bodies, wheels, tires, powder coating, sandblasting, lighting, hitches, and other accessories. Go to mountainlandtruck.com. That's MTNLNDtruck.com.
Say hello to 4U Banking from Zions Bank, customized banking that's all about you and the way you bank. Like credit cards. Experience 4U Banking today at a Zions Bank branch or visit zionsbank.com/4U to learn more. Credit card accounts are subject to credit approval. Certain terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See the consumer credit card agreement and disclosure statement for more details. Offers are available for new credit card accounts only and subject to change at any time. A division of Zions Bank Corporation, NA, member FDIC.
Right now is the perfect time to check out the all-new Black Desert Resort in St. George. You can stay, you can play. Enjoy one of the many restaurants that are open to serve you, like the fun sports atmosphere at the 20th hole or the finest steakhouse experience at Basalt. Play the Tom Weisskopf Championship Golf Course, home to the PGA and LPGA Tours. Take on the massive 36-hole putting course and enjoy luxury your way at Black Desert Resort. Book your experience at blackdesertresort.com.
Celebrate Memorial Day weekend at Uinta Golf by Worldwide Golf. Don't miss incredible deals in every department, like 50% bonus trade-in on all new 2025 inline golf clubs, 20% off on 4-All and Adidas apparel, and get 20% off all Skechers and Squares footwear. Shop us in-store or online at worldwidegolf.com. Trusted by golfers since 1971 and home to the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. Uinta Golf by Worldwide Golf. Get there.
This is Brian Taylor. For years, you've heard me talk about getting LASIK surgery from Hoops Vision. I've heard from so many of you who have had the same great experience that I had. It's been 15 years already, and my eyesight is still amazing. I 100% recommend the pros at Hoops Vision for your vision correction needs. Book your free consultation online at hoopsvision.com. Mention Real Golf Radio, and you'll save $1,000 on your LASIK procedure. That's hoopsvision.com. Hoopsvision.com.
My name is DJ. I was injured in a car accident. I called Siegfried & Jensen because the insurance company was trying to take advantage of me. Siegfried & Jensen were great at making sure that I was taken care of.
Here for you whenever and wherever you need us. Siegfried & Jensen.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
Welcome back to the show. Thanks again to Ryan Ballengee for joining us right there on Real Golf Radio. Really good example. And I'll tell you, if you want to watch the video, he really breaks down that whole driver gate thing really, really nicely. So this is a relatively new thing. I think they've only been doing this for a few years. But they just randomly test these guys. And you heard what he said there. Like, what kind of, first of all, how do you know if you're cheating? The only way you would knowingly cheat is if the driver head they tested and determined it was non-conforming, you just somehow slipped it back in play, right?
Right.
That's one. And I don't know if they, I don't know this. Do I wonder if they put a little mark on it?
They probably do.
Like, did they stamp it like, eh?
They might engrave it or something, you know?
Like when you go change your driver's license, they hole punch it?
Yeah.
Or your passport?
We need to talk to Thomas Pagel about it. Find out. He'd know.
Like, maybe that was your major championship-winning driver in the case of Rory McIlroy. He just completed the career Grand Slam. I don't think he wants, like, a hole punch through the middle of it. He wants to
display it. Well, you can't use it again.
Well, so but he could go hang it up. Why would you want a big, like, tag on it that says, Anyway, so first of all, the players don't know. I don't think they have it.
Because they have a conforming driver.
Right. The manufacturers.
I'll guarantee.
Yeah, go ahead.
The manufacturers, Bob. Each one of them have one of these tests.
Oh,
one of these.
Yeah.
To be able to test them so that once they hand it over, they know that it's a conforming driver.
The tour department goes through all that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they test them and they probably log the results of the tests for the USGA to show them that it's conforming. I would be surprised if they didn't. Yep. The last thing any manufacturer wants to do is put their player out there with non-conforming equipment that looks the worst on the manufacturer. They would never choose to do that.
Exactly.
That said, it's very important to them that they push the line as close to they can so that they can sell more drivers by saying theirs is fast and hot and long and straight and more forgiving and all the things that they sell drivers on, right?
Yeah, and I thought Scottie Scheffler was really interesting in his post-round or his post-tournament press conference when they asked him, did your driver get tested? He said, yes. Did it pass? No. And he'd been expecting this and using this driver for about a year. So that's it. That's what shows how thin that face is, how they get it right to the edge. He'd been using this driver for a year and he was expecting it to go to non-conforming at some point, probably soon.
Or to crack.
So that's why. Pardon?
Or to crack.
Yeah. So that's why he had been working on having a secondary driver that he could put right in play that conformed and also kind of just conformed to the way he'd been playing and his normal type of driver. So once he found out that his didn't match, he put the new one in. And when the new one went in, you know, it's, I don't know if it mattered, but it looks like it didn't matter because he ended up winning the golf tournament.
I remember Kenny Perry went on a run when his in his 40s and he was winning all these tournaments, and then his head cracked on this driver he'd been playing for a long time.
Yep.
And so he had to switch it out, and he said the manufacturer bought four or five or six of them. It was TaylorMade at the time, and he said they were down to the nano, micro, millis, whatever, of exact copy.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get it. I remember him telling us, like, I just can't get comfortable with this. And I'm like, how is that even possible? When you're that good, shouldn't you be able to pick up anything and just give it a ride?
That's the problem. When you're that good, yes. It does.
I mean,
it becomes extremely tough.
You remember when Tiger did the Tiger Jam or whatever his little thing is in Vegas a couple years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Remember Nike brought out a bunch of drivers? I think this was back when he was still with Nike. So this is not just a couple years ago. This is a lot of years ago.
Right.
But they were having this event. Everyone was filming it. They were all standing out there. He was hitting balls into a net or whatever. Maybe they were at Topgolf. I don't remember. Anyway, it's a big crowd down in Vegas. They hand him a driver. He picks it up. He takes one swing with it. He gives it back to him. Nope. Takes it back. He did that three or four times. Then he goes, oh, that one will work. I mean, that's like one swing. It's remarkable.
Yeah. So it's the idea of not having to change your swing to hit your equipment, because the equipment that's working is working because of the way you swing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get a driver that's non-conforming, or, I mean, it was the same way when I was working in as a tour rep on tour for a couple of different companies. The last thing you want to do is to get a guy to have to change his swing mm-hmm. to fit into your equipment. You want your equipment to be as perfect for him so that he can make a true judge of what you're doing. And if it's not exactly the same, the player's not going to change his swing for it.
Here's what I find kind of let's look at the consumer side of all this for a second. So the tour guys change their wedges frequently. Some of them change them every month. Yeah. Some of them change them every few months, but guys are changing wedges a lot. I usually get a new set every year, if not, you know, maybe twice a year. But I don't play nearly as much golf or hit as many golf balls as those guys do, right? So, but because I see these guys change so often, I think about it and I'm like, well, how much am I losing? How much grip or grab am I losing with these grooves as they continue to wear out a little bit, you know? And it makes me think, well, I could probably be better if I had a little sharper groove. So let's throw in some new wedges. So now let's turn the table on the driver.
I could probably be better.
Well, so do you see what I'm saying? So on the driver, what I'm hearing is that maybe you should stick with your driver head as long as possible, because the more you hit it, the better it becomes. That's kind of what I'm hearing.
That's exactly right.
That's counterintuitive to what the manufacturers are telling us why we should buy new drivers every year.
Of course, because they're putting new drivers in everybody's hands every year.
But are we giving up? Like, do we just get to the end of the year and our driver is just absolutely perfect, and that's when we decide to switch it out for a face that is conformed? We don't even know it's non-conforming. We had no idea potentially it was non-conforming. We have played our driver into an advantage, and then we swap it out.
And then we swap it out. You know what, Brian? You were talking about wedges, okay? And guys swapping every month and how grooves kind of wear out a little. My dad, his last competitive wedge was smooth on the face.
Yeah, but your dad could hit a...
It had no scoring lines down in the bottom two or three scoring lines.
Your dad could take a serving spoon and hit it better than most guys could, so...
I would always look at his wedge and I'd say, oh my goodness gracious, how can you get that ball to stop on the green with that?
Bob, your dad was one of the best putters of all time, maybe the best putter of all time, and what he putted with was atrocious.
Yes.
That was the ugliest looking putter I have ever seen in my life.
Octagon putter. It was gross. Counterbalanced. Yeah. It was bad.
I'm kind of putting with one of those right now, though. So,
yeah. It's counterbalanced and it's kind of,
it's kind of ugly.
You're right.
It's kind of ugly. Sorry, Lab. It's kind of ugly, but I like it.
Oh.
So.
funny.
All right. Well, there's a little equipment side talk there.
Yeah.
All right, real quickly, I wanted to look at this leaderboard as we went through the PGA. So when we came in, we said, look, this is going to be, and we told all the guys on the stations as we're doing our previews and stuff, this can be a big, this can be a big name guy. Like, this is a big hitter park. It's a big name place. Like, you just don't win here if you're nobody. You know, you just don't win majors in today's era. Going back to Jordan Spieth in 2015, every major champion except for Phil Mickelson when he won the PGA as a 51-year-old, every major champion was inside the top 50. So you just assume that it's not going to be an outlier. And it turned out to be true. But for most of this tournament, you thought, what the heck?
What's going on?
Yeah, where's the big names? What's happening here? Scotty was just kind of hanging around. He opened 69-68. Bryson DeChambeau, 71 in the opening round. Then he came back with a 68. Right. Let's see.
Even Scotty said himself.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Those first two rounds, he had to grind out that score. Because his scoring, he felt, was the best the first two rounds because he didn't have his game where he needed it to be to win a major championship. Which is pretty interesting to hear him say.
Goes back to my whole point. My whole premise of what I watched him do is that he was Tiger-like in that he probably won him this B game.
Yep.
And it's not very many guys can do that. John Rahm started 70-70. Tony Finau, 70-69. Xander Schauffele, 72-71. Rory McIlroy, nice little 74 opener, came back with 69. Morikawa, 70-72. Homa, 73. And then the 64, I mean, he stole the show on Friday. And unfortunately, went 76-77 on the weekend.
Yeah,
that's a tough deal, man. That's tough to watch. Like, just listening to him and having him open up, we'll have to do a whole show on that. But to him open up how the dark places he's been in,
Yeah.
Speaking of Homa.
How he's out of social media right now.
He's just trying to, and wondering if he'll ever be able to come back. And then he drops that 64, and he's right there, and you're thinking, you know, this is a great story. In fact, it was the only story at the time. Because it was just none of the other guys were doing anything.
Because that leaderboard was so obscure.
Well, yeah, because you got JT and Oberg and Spieth and Koepka. They all missed the cut.
Yeah.
And the rest of the guys weren't really doing anything. And so then it's like, well, let's go Homa. Well, Homa just absolutely gets forgotten on the weekend, which is, I think, hopefully that 64 is enough to find something to build on. And we'll see him start to play a little better golf because it's fun to watch him. But Morikawa didn't really tied for 50th, didn't really show up. Rory tied 47th with 72-72 on the weekend. The leaderboard wasn't that great. Harris English, Davis Riley, Taylor Pendrith, Johnny Vegas. I mean, just not exactly what you thought you'd see. Nevertheless, at the end of the day, it was the world number one who came through and claimed his third major victory, which is pretty cool stuff. So that's going to do